Things program. Hoping to come on. It's still good. I'm your undefeated champion, Reagan. And with me, as always, is my brother, Ryan.
Hello there. And joining us is our other brother, Box Office Rob.
Hey.
Along for the ride is our producer, E. We are CoSG, the only show on the internet where we break down retro movies to see if they still hold up and then put a stamp on them. Today, we break down 12 Monkeys. It's got Bruce Willis. It's got time travel. And it's got Brad Pitt as an unhinged schizophrenic who leads an underground gang on a mission to reset humanity. What else do you need?
In a world where a bioterrorist will have had unleashed an apocalyptic plague upon humanity, one average Joe will embark on an insane trip through time to become the reluctant hero he is destined to be in every movie he's in. Starring Bruce Willis as John McClock and Bradley Pitt as Proto Tyler Durden. It's time to go back in time again in Time Hard 12, Time Hardest. Yippee-ki-yay, monkey fucker.
The Army of the 12 Monkeys. But before we get to today's movie, let's see if the audience went crazy for 12 Monkeys.
Show me the money.
Show you the money.
Show me the money. Show me the money.
I think it's a pretty big deal.
12 Monkeys?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll
when
see.
It came out.
We'll see. Yeah.
I'm trying to remember like Entertainment Tonight, I think. Like, I think there was a hype train behind this.
I mean, it was definitely promoted. I remember promoting it and, you know, seeing a bunch of the trailers. It wasn't like it just dropped out of nowhere like some movies do these days.
Yeah, but so this Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt. The movie's going to sell tickets.
Yeah, for sure. This dropped just before the end of 95 in literally like three theaters, and then it like fully opened up in 96. I don't know. They really wanted to get in
like
there.
January?
Yeah, like it opened up like technically if you look at, they didn't open up full like number, like regular number of theaters until like January 5th, you know, the weekend of January 5th, you know, that week. But they did like three theaters in December at the end of December.
I want to say I saw this at Wheaton Plaza.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. I want to say.
All right.
I was going to be like, why wouldn't you go to Regal? Regal wasn't a thing.
It did not exist.
It did not, exist. I mean, you are more loyal to the Wheaton Theater than Lake Forest.
No, it was just where Reagan, take yourself back.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
you're
yeah,
looking at Showtimes and like the newspaper to try to figure out where.
Call
it's
movie
playing.
Phone.
Yeah, movie phone. You know, stop talking from the future. Take this trip back to the past and remember you didn't really necessarily.
You're 100% right. If I was elitist time traveler, it was like, what do you cavemen do for your movies? Yeah.
You didn't just pick your theater. You had your premiere theaters, but you had to deal with what was available. Yeah.
There's a 12:10 show at White Flint. Let's try and get in there real quick.
Right. And you'd be like, it'll be 12:15. You're like, it probably has previews. Let's just go. Let's buy it.
It's still clean.
It's still running.
Oh, it's sold out. Fuck. Do you think we could make the 12:25 in fucking Lake Forest?
Right.
Dark times.
See, that's
dark
times. No, yeah. I don't know. That there's a bonding in that shit. Like sprinting to get to a movie theater.
Okay, I'll give you that, buddy. There compared to how we have it now, good we have it now.
It's just because you're so lazy, you can't get out of the house on time to get to your assigned seat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but you could just go in any time. I mean, look, Eric watched the movie 3 days in a row and walked in at different times each time. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes,
but they didn't have that movie pass thing. He would have to pay for that each time.
Yeah,
he could have gone to Aspen Hill three separate days and just paid the $1.25.
No, he's taking the Q4 to Wheaton Plaza. He's taking that. It eventually became the 48, right? Like depending if it's Metro or ride on time at that time. I don't remember. It's probably the Q4 at that point. He's got to ride that on over and go see that movie there.
Why do you remember that?
You don't remember how many times on Bauer Drive we'd be stuck behind the Q4 or the 48?
I remember the bus stop.
No, I'm talking about the Metro that later became the ride on. It was like the bane of my existence. I don't know how you couldn't know it. It would be like, the Q4!
You say it sounds familiar. It's just a fucking bus at this point.
Yeah.
That's information that I don't
need. 48 still I see all the time because it pecks up by my house and, you know, right here by the Rockville. It goes between the Rockville Metro and the Wheaton Metro. That's basically its route.
There is a bus, a school bus now that's the bane of my existence. I do remember that number, but it's because it's 316, Stone Cold's number.
Yeah, he said so.
That's right.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't 316, I'd never remember the number. Like if it was 888, I'd never remember that. I mean, that's three Cal Ripkins. I definitely remember that number.
Yeah.
That's a bad example immediately, but you get what I'm putting down.
I do.
All right. So 12 Monkey.
Right. That's what we're talking about.
What it costs to make. You want to take a guess?
Oh, man, we're at the beginning of this.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys stop distracting me with bus schedules and movies.
You took the first off-ramp you could find and just went.
That pretty much sounds like me.
Yeah, it sounds like any of us, really. But all right. All right. So this came out, as we were saying, late 95, really early 96. And your choices for budget are, did it cost A, $10 million, B, $19 million, C, $29 million, D, $44 million, or E, $73 million?
Well, this feels like a nice, comfortable C to me. It seems to be right there in the middle. I don't know.
They have different locations and stuff. I'm feeling D, $44 million. It's a little too round for me, to be honest with you. But 73 seems high.
He rounds the numbers, so it's too even?
Okay. Dual four.
Budgets are usually displayed with they don't really get into the nitty gritty.
Okay.
But
they usually
even number than say 25 or 9 or 29 than or 19.
Okay. I mean
73. Yeah, you know. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Even number. It's an even number for sure.
It's an even number. That's what I'm just saying. It's a little too even, but I'm gonna stay with it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. The correct answer is C, $29 million.
Yeah,
I knew it. My number was too smooth.
All right, so let's see. This movie did not really have any other competition opening up the same week. If you count, it's like full January open. If you count like the week before when it opened up three theaters, there's a couple other movies that opened up at the same time, but nothing crazy.
The Santa Claus?
No, if you really want to know.
I was just trying to think what Christmas movie came out in 95.
No, none of these are Christmas
movies. Oh, really?
There's five movies that opened up this week, and all of them opened on five or less theaters.
It must
have been a thing in the movie industry. It's 12 Monkeys, Dead Man Walking, Rich the Third, Restoration, and Mr. Holland's Opus.
Okay.
I know all opened up end of December with I guess it's just their premieres. I guess, I don't know. I mean, just so little. It's just annoying. But for the full release, we got no one else really opening up that week. We've got the other competition we got kicking around. We got Toy Story in its eighth week.
Ooh, okay. That's big. Yeah. Eighth's pretty far out. Yeah. Braveheart in its 37th week, something like that.
No, nothing quite that extreme.
Yeah.
We got Grumpier Old Men in its third week.
Sequel. Don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got Jumanji in this fourth week.
That was a big one.
And it's a lot of kids stuff. I think they're just going to be splitting that Toy Story money at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of kids are running out to see 12. Well, Monkeys.
Dead Man Walking is not a kid's movie. That could be splitting some of this off.
Is that Sean Penn?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the weird thing. I told you that it premiered like the week before. Looking at this, no numbers for it. For Dead Man
Walking. So they didn't like re-release it for another couple weeks or something?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with it. But anyway.
No one just went to see it.
Yeah. We got Waiting to Exhale in its third week.
What a great soundtrack that movie has, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
All right.
Never seen the movie. Is it worth watching? Should we do Waiting to Exhale on the podcast?
The movie's fine. The soundtrack is exceptional.
I mean, can we do an episode where we just listen to a soundtrack and talk about the soundtrack?
We can just...
How much can there be to talk about the soundtrack?
I don't know. What
well, you got Brandy sitting in my room.
that's a hit.
Whitney Houston. Shoot. I mean, it's Babyface produced. I mean, it's...
It's hit after hit, then.
It's hit after hit, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got Heat in its fourth week.
Oh, that's gonna steal some
Heat in its fourth week. Oh yeah, that's still hitting hard.
And let's see, we got Father of the Bride Part 2 in its fifth week.
Another sequel. That's right there that's competing against Grumpier Old Men. You know, like right there.
Yeah,
I think this movie did well.
I think this movie won.
Yeah, I think it had a lot of marketing.
I remember commercials and stuff for it.
Were people motivated enough? I know it was a hit movie, but were they motivated enough to go out and make it the number one movie?
It's 1995.
Yeah, 96. I'm gonna agree with you with like Brad Pitt,
Bruce
yeah.
Willis.
Well, wait, Brad Pitt wasn't that big yet, right?
This is when he was starting to blow up.
He was like blowing seven, up. At this point. Seven he, came no, out later this year.
He was exploding at this time.
When was like A River Let's Runs see. Through It? Or no?
No, he's in True Romance 94. For a second.
All right. Yeah. Okay. You're right. He's good.
And then
he
does a couple other things. The one right, Louise had already come out.
I thought this was more tip of the spear of his career, but
I think the fuse has been lit and he's in okay. takeoff at this moment. And then, you know, all that other stuff just boom, 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 boom.
Yep. He was in seven before this.
Oh, seven before this? I thought seven was late 96.
Okay. No, apparently it's 95. Interview of Vampires 94.
Oh, forgot about that one. Yeah, right. Yeah. You're right. He's in prime time.
Rocket ship to the moon, yeah, baby. Yeah.
All right, I'll say won the week. Like, Rick, I'm agree with you. It doesn't do much for us, but I think it won. And how much did it make? Let's say it made $129 million. Since the budget was $29 million. This made a cool $100 million profit.
I was going to say $129, by the way, but now I'm not going. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this movie made worldwide $207 million.
Okay. So.
And it won the week.
It did win the week.
Nice. No question. Nice.
I thought you were going to like Price is Right him and maybe snake out a win, but you jumped way ahead.
It went too high.
It made $168
million. Yeah.
I went too high.
Yeah, you should have just gone like $130 million.
Yeah. I don't want to be a jerk. I wanted to go high. No, go big or go home.
Okay. But good numbers.
Yeah. It made a lot of money. Didn't get that sequel. I don't know 13, what a sequel to this 13 movie
monkeys.
Looked like.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Would it be 13 monkey, like, or would they get another, like?
I think, like, it wouldn't be monkey related at all if they did another.
Yeah.
But would you call it 13 something?
It depends. Is there an army or something? The army of the walrus? 13 walrus? You know, something like that? Walruses?
Walrus eye? I don't think they're walrus. I think it's walruses.
Yes, I think it's walruses.
You know, seven sockeye fish.
Yeah. But is the pride of walruses or like a murder? What is the.
The crows? Well, how many would make a pride? Like, if there are more two walrus, there has to be more than two. So three is a pack?
I think so. Once it gets past couple status, once you're like, thruple, look at that
pack of
when you're
walruses
in a thruple,
getting in here.
Yeah.
It's called a tusk of walruses? Is that what you're saying? Producer note?
Yeah. Okay. Really?
How many is in a tusk, though? Three? Three's a
I think
tusk?
It's gotta be
two's
three
a crowd?
Yeah. Three or more. Thruple, man. It's got to be an orgy.
Right. So if you get like a devil's trusk going...
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know why you always have to take it there, Ryan.
I don't.
Well, let's go to a quick little break. We'll come back with the breakdown right after this.
This is not a dream. We are using your phone's electrical system as a receiver.
You are receiving this podcast as a dream.
We are transmitting this from the year 2999.
You are receiving this podcast in order to alter the events you are hearing. You must subscribe, like, and follow in order to avoid a causality violation.
The
future needs your help. Save the podcast. Save the world. End of line.
Break all the fucking mirrors!
Subscribe.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize where the invention comes from?
We're back from that break. I was really trying to remember the intro to the 12 Monkeys TV show. It's a letter. It's like, where are you right now? Are you warm? Something like that. It's really nice. It's very different from the movie. It's more of a pandemic. And in the TV show, they're trying to change the past so it doesn't happen. This, they don't care about changing the past because everyone's already dead.
They're still trying to say stop some.
They're trying to retake the surface in the future.
Yes.
In 2035, I think it is.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not trying to change anything. That they can't change anything. They can just get information.
What if they realize it's because James Cole puts the thought out there?
Yes,
And Commander Chang changes the protocols with the guy from Shawshank Redemption. So if Cole never goes back, see, that was like 14 different characters that are all in this movie.
Yeah.
So if they don't send Cole back, does that change the past? Because if Cole doesn't interfere.
Happened. Oh, you're saying it.
No, he won't. Only happens Christopher because... Plummer wouldn't change the protocol.
Right. If they never accidentally sent Cole to 1990, the events would have never taken place. But they had to do it because you know that
take place before.
It's a paradox.
Place because it happened.
It is.
Because
right, it's a paradox.
I don't think the protocol had any effect because I thought all he did was take himself out of the equation.
He took and he put that guy in charge. I forget
I
the
thought that, that guy was already like his number two, already had access to the virus.
I think they made it I sound think
taking
like
him
Reagan
out
was
of the
saying,
loop.
Yeah, like.
Made it,
he
made
needed it. To be in the loop before where he no longer needed to be. I think
if he was in the loop, he would know it was taken and it was gone. And since he took himself out of the loop, he had no idea the virus is out.
Maybe.
So my question is, could they send somebody else back, you know, either Cole's neighbor, the guy that was in World War One, or, you know, stopped him at the airport?
Jose,
right? But Jose. Somebody else, even if they got another person, could they just stop David Morse, right? It was David Morse was the assistant. You know,
trying to look at his
ponytail. Was it David
Morse?
Great
ponytail.
Yeah.
Great ponytail.
It's David Morse. From opening the sample and infecting San Francisco. Like, but if you do that, that person that's gone back can't stop him from opening it, which is the paradox situation of it. You really can't stop it. It's always there. You can't. It was really interesting to me trying to figure out what would be the scenario where you could stop it from this paradox, and you just can't. The only thing would be to send somebody else to stop it from opening the sample, and then have what's her name meet him on the plane and say, "I'm insurance."
Is she infected?
She has to be at that point.
Johnson infected, so she can't come back with the. Or is she getting herself infected with the pure form of the virus, and she's going to be the sample when she comes back?
Well, Dr. Peters may be infected, but he may not be transmitting yet.
Right, maybe not. And who knows how far the particles can travel.
Well, is she hoping that she's the insurance? She's hoping she'll catch it from him.
Or take the samples from him to go back. I don't know what they can travel with back through the, you know.
Did they get the spider? They said it was a good idea.
And they never said if they actually had it. They just told him it was a good idea that he swallowed it, right? Like, so that they could bring the spider.
Could he swallow like a vial? Like, it would be uncomfortable.
She could keister it. A vial.
In the TV show, you could transport, like, you could transport with your clothes and stuff, or you're always naked.
Right. No, he transported with his, well, you never really see him transport.
It's only the World War One. He's buck-ass naked.
Yeah, he's Terminator style. So
he's the only place you don't want to be naked.
It makes you think it's Terminator style the whole time.
So it's Terminator rules.
Yeah, right, so he'd have to keister one of the vials of the virus to bring it back to try to take back the surface. But, I mean, what is the shelf life of this virus? And you think the virus would have...
It mutates, they say. So
yeah, of course, but mutation's not always a bad thing, as we've learned from becoming viral expert, right? Like, sometimes it mutates into lesser forms, but, you know, I guess just information is better information.
I guess they know if it's still active out on the surface.
Well, I'm assuming they don't go through all those protocols for nothing. Somebody's gone up
Are they putting, like, guinea pigs out there every 5 years or so, like a prisoner?
I love the this one wasn't so much of like a movie where it's like, is he really insane? Not for me. I know they put that out there.
They start putting it out there. But I think one guard everywhere in the beginning.
Yeah, and with the Bob guy, you know, the raspy voice guy, you know, like there's reasons to believe he's insane. But I think they still push you in the direction that he's not. It's not with me with like the 2 weeks Total Recall, where I think he's totally, you know, should have taken it. Like his mind's melted in the
He's not lobotomized in Total Recall.
Yes, he's totally like everything they say and does it. Like he's on his trip and it's all just imagine. You know, like I'm still under that belief. I don't get that with 12 Monkeys where it's they do a great job. Like he's getting deloused in the past. He's getting deloused in the prison in the future. You see the animals and the animal post. Like they do all these things. The time machine itself looks like an MRI machine. You know, like it looks like medical equipment. Like he's telling himself he's insane. The teeth pulling out. Like there is a lot of cool stuff where it's like, well, maybe he's just bringing his psychiatrist on this psychosis. But with the
she's on board by the end. So
he's guessing things like the kid in the well or whatever it is. Well, this.
Brad Pitt says, you know.
God, what a great character, by the way. Yeah. You cannot.
They keep us in here so we don't infect people with our craziness. Is Bruce Willis infecting Dr. Raley with his crazy? Because she's at, with the pimp scene, she's acting crazy as well.
Well.
But it's the adrenaline. It's the adrenaline that's going on.
When she gets attacked and he kills those dudes, that's the most unbelievable thing to me this whole movie, is that the police not only responded to that crime, actually investigated and found out that he committed the murder of those
drug addicts. His prints and
a chance that body's ever been discovered for
weeks. He
left
an ID or something. I'm sure he left an ID.
I'm just saying, that was the most, out of everything in this movie, time travel, the paradoxes, everything, the most unbelievable thing in this movie was clearly that the police gave a damn about that crime and solved it so quickly.
Enhance.
That was the most fictional element of the whole movie right there. But, yeah, but I don't remember why I went there, but she was.
I was saying, Chris.
Oh, yeah, you were saying she's definitely crazy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But all right. Also, when you first watched this movie, he's in 1990. He's in Baltimore.
Yeah.
They walk by a cop. Did you recognize who the cop is at the front desk?
Don't remember now. If I did.
Later becomes
Star Trek.
No. The Wire. He becomes the commissioner. Pavelski. The shitty one who has like the feud in the right. second season.
Yeah.
He's the desk guard, and it's 1990. It's 12 years before The Wire. So he has time to work himself up in the police force.
You think it's this, the universe.
This takes place in the same universe as The Wire.
Okay.
It's fact. Everyone knows it from now on. As soon as because he has zero lines in this. He just smiles as the camera pans by as they're moving him through. Before putting him in the Brad Pitt.
So you're saying The Wire takes place completely before 96 then?
Well, no, it's 2012, but they prevent it. It's and like the TV show.
Oh, okay.
2002. Yeah, I was gonna say they're only in 2012. So
I was like, you know, the population's wiped out, right?
And how long do those animals live? By the way, that got released. Are we supposed to assume that they bred? And also, we're supposed to assume that they didn't spend any time while this, because you know the virus didn't just like people just didn't start dropping dead hundreds of times. There would have been animal control rounding up those animals. Like, well, why are they now out?
Doesn't he say that it's a couple weeks, or is that the TV show, I think, says.
Yeah,
it's
I think those animals would have been secured.
Weeks before.
Unless, I guess, now the zoo gate, you know, they'd just be dead. They just wouldn't have enough, you know, like, it was weird that he saw the bear and the, what was the other animal he saw? The lion.
Lion, right? Yeah.
That they would still be around 30 years later roaming around.
How long, I don't know how long, like, the average bear or lion lives. It could be the son of lion or son of bear. Well, her daughter.
I was say we don't know if the bear was from the zoo, but I was like, we're pretty sure that the lion wasn't wild. But you know,
yeah.
That's true. The bear could have just moved
in. Timeline was a little suspect there, but you know, some of it they're trying to put that possibly could have been in his psychosis or imaginated state. But is that a word?
Imagined state. It is now. He's also super drugged out for a lot of this movie.
Yes. You know, and you don't know how he's been living or, you know, what those conditions are like for the regular people, much less the prisoners underground for all this time. Can't be good in your mental state.
Well, we never see what the regular populace is living like.
That's right. You don't. You only see the doctors
It could be like a Matrix 2 orgy. It could be awesome and everyone having a good time.
I don't think they'd be so desperate to get out then if they were living in their underground.
You always pine for what you don't have. Grass is always greener.
In the Matrix, they
even in the Matrix, they were trying to get more cities and beat the machines.
They had nuked the surface. There was nothing left to go up to up there.
They want to reclaim it. I think they want to reclaim it and try and build a new society moving forward.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe eventually, but I think their main goal was let's just kill the things they're trying to kill us so that we can live in peace. And then maybe one day we'll reclaim the surface, right? Maybe we can go to sleep at night not worrying about, you know,
machines like
tunneling through. Yeah, with a tentacle machine.
What were those things called?
Yeah.
Terminators.
They weren't called that.
He's not listening because if he heard us asking questions about the Matrix,
yeah, no, he might know. If we're talking about the Matrix,
what were the hunter killer robots?
What are the squid robots called, E?
Sentinels.
Sentinels.
There we go. Yes.
That's it.
Okay.
Like the Keanu Reeves football movie where he was the Washington Sentinel.
Yeah. Right.
It's all linear. It's all makes sense. I'm going in this into home with Brad Pitt and Bruce Willis. I won't be talking about the Cyclops hordes on Venus or whatever that guy was going on, the mentally divergent.
So now that we've rattled E's cage and he's awake, what type of paradox is this? This is not like a bootstrap paradox. It's not a grandfather paradox. What time travel paradox would you call this Bruce Willis's character in this?
Oh, yeah, it is a bootstrap paradox.
You really? I was making arguments in my head that it was not a bootstrap paradox, and now I'm struggling to understand why I was making that argument.
It's because whenever you have a closed loop like that, where the beginning was affected by the end, and the end is affected by the beginning, whenever you have a closed loop like that, it's always a bootstrap paradox.
I thought for sure it had to be a different type of paradox because of the other entries into it or something. I was twisting my head around what type of paradox this was. So it is a bootstrap. Okay. I just know you'd be the expert for that because, you know, that keeps you up at night thinking about those kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do they need Cole to try and shoot the doctor at the end?
Why can't Jose? Oh, because yeah, that why can't happened, Jose right? take they the have show. To keep it regaining it, right?
Or what?
I don't know. Or something different happens. I don't know.
At that point, I get wanting to keep it because he's already released the virus by that point in time.
I mean, technically, but Cole doesn't know as a boy that it was him. They could have put another prisoner in that outfit and had him run and then had Cole stop the virus or shoot somebody. I guess now I'm talking myself into that, even though I said there was no way to stop it before, because all Cole saw was the back of somebody's head wearing the wig he's wearing in the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, as long as Dr. Rayleigh's there.
Right, as long as she's there and they have a stand-in. And
her career is ruined. I mean, I guess she dies in 2 weeks, so who cares?
Right.
But, you know, it's still not great.
Yeah.
Could she get, like, Stockholm? Could she claim that for six years?
It doesn't matter. She's dead. But, I guess, but now I'm talking myself in that you could stop this paradox because he didn't know what he was looking at.
Yeah, she don't send Cole back in time.
Or you send Cole back in time, but you have somebody else be as a stand-in for the person that gets shot, and Cole can complete the mission or stop, like,
Jose has the mustache and the wig on, too.
Right, and he gets shot, but then Cole actually shoots Ponytail Guy before he releases the virus.
But he's already released the virus at that point.
He released it. Oh, okay. Well, shoot him before security, before he releases the virus.
I think at that point, they're already fucking up and changing the future. He says does he say they can't change the future or they shouldn't?
I think he says they can't, but that's just what they told him.
Right.
Right. You know, okay. Like, and
maybe they can't change his future is what they're doing.
He does deviate, or I guess he always did that.
Yeah, he always did it.
He always did it.
The paradox, so they knew he was. Do they
I'm
know
just saying the paradox time? Could be flawed in the fact that he's not 100% sure as a kid and previous that it's actually him getting shot. It's just a guy from behind. So if you had somebody else get shot in that position to run that storyline through, he could be somewhere else and it wouldn't affect. It wouldn't change the timeline because it didn't happen. 1 + 1 + 2 + 1.
If at home, you're not. I don't know what you're
doing.
I'm
just saying, I've now seen an opportunity where you could win this and get out of it and escape from the paradox.
Well, now that they know it's this doctor, why don't they just send Jose to his house the morning before the flight? He has the shit in a briefcase. Shoot him in the head. Get the samples. Why are we even doing this?
That's a good point.
Why are we even doing this airport shit? Then you could get another passenger. You dress him up like Dr. Whatever, so Cole, as a child, still sees it happen. And that keeps your paradox from falling apart.
You know what? We've solved it. Or just fill the vials up with water, switch out the vials, and then she kills him on the plane later. Everything happens exactly as in the movie, but he's released no virus.
Commando style, like what he does to the guy in the plane in Commando, where she punches it, like pushes his nose into his brain.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, and she's don't bother, my friend. He's dead tired. And then, and then it just starts a Dr. Jones, like, commando rip.
You know what? I said you couldn't change this in the beginning. I've changed my opinion. We can get out of this paradox.
We fixed it.
We can stop the virus. It's going to take a little work. It's going to take a little bit of change. So you can't save Cole, though. Well, you could save Cole.
That wipes out the future, right? Yeah. That wipes out everything.
You go, so then Cole wouldn't be there. God damn it. Now we're back in the paradox. See what you've done?
The future is a bunch of bullshit.
One plus two plus one.
I just erased the future. Everything goes white. We end up in a whole new movie.
We
end up in 13 monkeys.
Yep. No monkeys. Yep. All right. Well, I don't know.
Would
I
be
still
12
love
monkeys
these.
Part two. Or would it be what is the virus called? Do they even say what the virus is? Or do they just refer
they
to
say,
it
they
as
just,
the virus?
They just refer to it as virus. You know, the virus.
I think Christopher Plummer is working with more than one virus.
Right. He was a...
Also, why are they showing, like animal torture videos at the insane asylum on the television in 1990?
It's a little weird. It's a little weird.
Yeah. Maybe it was a early,
they
like...
put on whatever they want.
ASPCA commercial.
Can you watch that stuff on... if you're circling through your YouTube TV or your Comcast or your Verizon, what channel is monkey torture? They hate it.
And torture the hell out of
Was it the monkey named Bobo?
It wasn't my friend Terry.
Calling for back date.
that was weird, I guess, when you look at it like that. But you know what? But anything in the insane asylum, Brad Pitt just stole the show, and I couldn't focus on much else.
He is amazing.
Unbelievable. It's the role of... I don't think he's had a better role. I could almost put it down there.
Tyler Durden's a pretty good performance.
I'd put this one over top.
Have you watched his performance in... what is that, Quentin Tarantino? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Still haven't watched it. I know it's available to watch.
It's pretty good. All right. DiCaprio, great. Brad Pitt, they're both so fucking likable. I don't think it should be allowed to have them in the same movie.
Yeah.
It feels like cheating. It's like a cheat code. Like when you would get a Game Genie and you just stick it in and then beat every video game. It's kind of like that. It's cheating at this point.
With Game Genie, it ain't over. Tony, say it's over.
I forgot about Game Genie until you brought it up at this very moment.
I mean, don't your kids want to use cheat codes for Minecraft or whatever? I guess it's not like a Game Genie for like a tablet. Yeah,
you just turn on.
You just hit a creator.
It's all in the game now. It's all in the game.
What about like a Switch? There's not one for like a Switch or a Switch Lite.
I mean, there may be, but I'm telling you, they just have creator modes and that you just go in and you just build everything unlimited. You don't have to do it.
They just put it in the game now.
It's in the game.
Right. I'm sure there's some games like maybe there's cheat codes in Mario Kart. I don't know. I wouldn't want to use them.
I know there are for like Grand Theft Auto, like unlimited ammo, things like that.
Yeah, they're not there yet. So who knows? Maybe down the road. But why did we start talking about?
I mentioned Game Genie.
I know, but why?
Oh,
what
is the putting Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio in the same movie?
I've been meaning to watch that since you told me it was on the Hulu, I believe, and I haven't done it yet. So maybe that'll be appointment viewing maybe this week. I'll watch because I've been meaning to watch that. I don't know why I haven't. I'll watch it and see what's up. Yeah,
it's enjoyable.
Yeah,
Brad Pitt's a good one. Instead of being like, what's he great in? What is Brad Pitt bad in?
I'm sure there's been one where it wasn't great.
Troy?
Troy was fine. I mean, it was fine.
I'm trying to think of like movies that were considered not Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Fine.
Yeah, he's good. He's good in that.
I'm looking him up now because now I got to know. There's got to be one.
Meet Joe Black. I don't think people really like that.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it. He was like deaf or something, right?
Yeah. Moneyball is also probably one of his best.
Oh, yeah. That was a very low.
He's great as Billy Bean.
Yeah, you're right. All right. He's had a lot of good stuff. I can't necessarily say this is like.
I mean, I'm not going out on a limb. Brad Pitt's fucking great.
Right. Yeah. It's not a hard take.
I know. I'm going to really go against the grain here I know to do. I like Brad Pitt.
I look like you want to look. I fuck like you want to fuck.
He's good at a lot of stuff. He's great in Seven. I mean, you can't. But Bruce Willis is also really good in this movie.
Absolutely.
Actually, no one's bad at all. Even like, I'm not a big like steampunk guy, but I it makes sense for all the weird future goo guys just because the world kind of ended and it's whatever they can get going. Future filth. Yeah.
What is that?
It's what this style is.
Oh, future filth. I thought we were naming a movie or something. I was like, I don't know this movie. I'm going to check it out.
You know, it's any post-apocalyptic, Book of Eli, I would consider future filth.
Yeah. but Terry Gilliam loves this.
Yes, he loves this style very much. And it looks fantastic. It's not something I would be like, oh, I would love to, I would hate to live in this world. The interrogation chair that lifts him up to the middle of the... Why? Is it just something they had? Or did they build the chair to lift him? Or I just want to know if it's infrastructure that was made. I assume they're just... Cause it's been...
Made to look cool in future trash.
Yeah. It's 1996, it's been 30 years. So this is just what they've built in 30 years.
It's like now-ish.
Thankfully, we're not living in the 12 Monkeys now-ish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that Brad Pitt wore a contact with like to get the crooked eye effect?
No, I mean, I assume
it's a contact lens with like an eye drawn on it. But I mean, he's great. I really remember him being in it a lot more. I forget he's in like three parts of this movie and then pretty much gone. Yeah,
but he chews up the screen every time he's in it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because of him, because I have not seen the movie, but his lowest rated movie on IMDb is Full Frontal.
With Samantha Bee?
No.
That's a TV show that was on TBS for a while, I think. I think it was TBS. When did it come out?
Julia Roberts, David Duchovny, David Hyde Pierce.
Came
out in the year 2002.
Bacon off that Friends that for Frasier money.
And I don't really see him on the list of top people, so he's probably in it for about 3.5 seconds.
Like a Deadpool 2?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where is he listed in Deadpool 2 in character? It's like way down there, I'm sure.
I'm looking for where he's even in here, and I'm not even finding him in the list, but it was in his name when I pulled it up. Oh, there he is. He's himself in it, apparently. I don't even know.
Oh, it doesn't count. Yeah, doesn't count.
Yeah, or at least it doesn't say as himself. It just says Brad Pitt is Brad Pitt. So I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. I don't know what's going on. So. He's probably in it for 2 seconds on a TV screen or something.
It's probably like a runway or something where he's himself.
Yes.
Like giving like a real interview.
So you're probably right. He hasn't really done a bad role. So I'll retract my earlier statement. This was his best. This is one of his best.
Yeah. Roles. He's a home run hitter for a reason.
Yeah.
Because he gets on base.
Yes. He was Vanisher in Deadpool 2. He's great in Spy Game. A lot of people didn't like that. Babel. I don't think people like that much. But he might be fine in them. Inglourious Bastards, he's really good in. And I don't really like that movie, but he's great in it.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah, you're not an Eli Roth fan.
Yeah, oh, definitely not. Although, is he still making movies?
As far as I know.
I really haven't watched one. I watched Hostel. Oh, he's doing the shit show that's going to be Borderlands?
Explosion!
Oh, is he?
Oh, my God. What if he's done? I know. I thought that movie was going to suck ass before. Now, Koji, guarantee coming at you. Borderlands is going to be a piece of shit. Borderlands. It is based off a video game that I did not play.
Great video game.
It's apparently really good. The movie's already been delayed. A bunch of reshoots have been done.
So are you saying this is your pick for never actually being released? Is this
no, this is going to come out. This is going to stink out the place and suck ass.
Okay.
It's a guarantee.
Borderlands.
Especially now that I know.
Just because he's directed.
If he breathed on it funny, I'd be like, oh, that movie's going to suck. I mean, he's not Equilibrium's Kurt Wilmer. a true artiste. Kurt Wilmer. You know, he's rewriting Salt or something, or they're using his characters. All right, so where are we in 12 Monkeys? We fixed the pandemic.
We really didn't. We kind of just got back.
We might have fixed it. We'll let it fade to white, Journey plays, and we'll let you guys think maybe we did it. We're setting up sequels. We're building a universe. We're setting franchises. That's how it would be done today. It would just fade to white and, sitting on the dock of the bay or something would play over the credits. Did you like his music choices? He was really going for oldies. He was rarely into oldies.
Well, I mean, you'd think he was a kid in 96. He probably didn't get much.
I mean, it's a hotbed of music in 96.
Yeah, but he didn't have much control of the dial at 8 or whatever he was, I'm sure. You got to blame his dad, right? But yeah,
there was a scan button where you just went around to different stations.
You would have rather like seen the radio and pull up like Push by like Maxbox 20 or something like that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And then they could have been singing that when he wakes up in the paintings in front of him. I want to push you up.
Yeah.
It would have been great.
Yeah.
But the music was fine. It was fine. Yeah.
I forgot they did
the red herring of him like killing the doctor and then going to the party where they keep like saying they found the woman's body.
Oh,
but it's another. I forgot all about that. And I was like, oh, that's just to mess with you during the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they want you to think he might actually just be crazy. He might be mentally divergent.
Yeah, and that's why I was trying to remember when I watched it, because I was like, they want you to believe. And I was like, did this have more of an effect that you would think he was crazy, not knowing it played out better the first time? I don't remember watching it that way, if I thought he was going to be crazy.
He'd already been to France. We'd already seen the France part.
At that point, yes.
Yeah. So I guess we're supposed to think he's crazy up until he vanishes playing in the puddle.
Well, you don't know. I think they still wanted you to believe you don't know because it could be.
Where did he go in the puddle?
All in his mind, right? Like, or he disappeared.
But it's fucking with Dr. Ray. Like, he disappeared in front of her that time.
That's why I was saying I don't think it gave you the same.
Yeah.
They were still guiding you one way, but I'm also now saying I don't remember what it felt like the first time watching it, not knowing where the story was going. Maybe you did get lost up for a second in the first watch. I don't remember. Definitely not in rewatch.
No. But I think even if you're lost, but I think the second he disappears from the puddle.
Yeah.
And they're telling him he's going to get to bang future women. I don't think they'd ever send him back.
Yeah.
Because don't they say there's an effect the more you do it?
Yeah, I wouldn't exactly call him mentally stable.
The librarian that I had a bad headache, but she didn't believe me. I really do have a bad headache, though. I have a very bad headache.
Right, like at any point during this.
Maybe in the very beginning when he's just observing and getting specimens at Macy's or wherever he is.
I'd still say he's already had some trauma, and I don't know if he's mentally stable. I wouldn't call him 100% there. I wouldn't.
No, I mean, he goes back, he beats up a pimp, he rips his teeth out. Why does he bring the pimp into the bathroom to rip his teeth out in front of him?
Good question.
I know you're supposed to think he's going to kill the pimp.
Oh, well, maybe he considered it.
He needs someone to witness him. He'd like someone to watch his pain.
When he said, when that witness me chat thing, I thought, because you were talking about the bathroom, I went to witness with like Kevin Costner and like having the kid like roll under the stall. Harrison Ford.
Yeah, Harrison Ford a witness?
Yeah, no.
Then I was going to be like, did Kevin Costner also do a witness movie? Helping it? Is it past the project? Oh, yeah, that's
the past project. Right, right, right.
Just because we were talking so much about him, his name went into my head, but I was thinking Harrison Ford. You know, that's what I, when you said witness, that's what I, instead of witness me, I just thought of him like rolling under the stalls, like getting away from a killer. That's all I thought of.
All right. Do you guys have any more on?
I meant to ask, did you recognize the doctor that, what's her name? Dr. Rowley was working with or trying to convince that maybe James isn't crazy.
Yeah. The one where he pulls a Houdini, like that one, the one who's like smoking in the room.
That one.
He went through a vent, replaced it, and is now crawling through. I didn't recognize it. It's Star Trek.
No, I mean, I don't think he. Oh, no, he's been in TOS, the original series.
Okay.
He was one of the black white guys.
Oh, okay. I know exactly.
But he was the Riddler on the Adam West Batman.
Oh, Adam West Batman. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Now that you say that, totally see it.
Yeah.
I really thought you were going to be like, oh, he was Ferengi number 3.
No.
And Star Trek, you know, episode season 1, you know, some of those great early
Ferengi guys.
There's no such thing.
Oh, what?
Great Ferengi episode.
There are, Ryan, we'll get there. I don't want you to slander. Quark is one of the best characters on Deep Space Nine.
Oh, on Deep Space Nine? Okay, well, yeah.
I think he's also one of the first people to ever play a Ferengi on Next Gen. I think he was in that first Ferengi episode, which is not good.
Was he?
Yeah, I think he's one of the first Ferengi. Just like Mark Alamina, who plays Gul Dukat. He was the first ever Cardassian, but he played a different Cardassian on Next Gen. You always get me here, Ryan.
I know. I just tell you, Ferengis aren't that good. They're plot killers.
They're not, though. They are in Next Gen, especially Next Gen Season 1. They crush episodes because they're not defined in who they are.
Yeah.
And they wanted to make them a Romulan or Klingon style, and they're not that.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get there once you start. Yeah. Have you started your Deep Space Nine rewatch?
I watched the pilot, or, you know, the episode 1 and 2 of the...
Jennifer's dying, and he's like, "You need to be with her. You didn't feel for him, Cisco."
I did. And he's all Picard hater. Yeah, I watched that one, but I was on vacation and stuff, so I haven't had a chance to watch a lot.
Off mic, I got to get your final Enterprise review.
Yeah, is not the place, but I said off mic.
Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
If you want to hear about it. You know, reach out on social media. Maybe we'll do something about it one day. But let's go to a quick little break, and we'll come back with a game right after this.
Here's some games. Games you want to get out. Maybe if you play the games, you're voluntarily taking a drink.
We're back from that break. You guys know what time it is. Pop quiz hotshot.
Yeah, I heard you hotshot.
What?
I said hotshot.
And we're joined by our producer, E.
Game on, good guys. All right, I'm back from the past.
Well, all right, I think that's the next episode you're going to be back, right?
Huh?
Yeah.
Was that for the next episode where you came in? Or no.
Yeah.
I brought him in to talk about Bootstrap Paradox.
Oh, right. He was here for that.
We also asked about Sentinels.
Itself was a Bootstrap Paradox. Yeah.
Thing he did where he was like, I'll be back later. And I was like, that's not this. That's next week he'll be back later.
Before
we time travel's a motherfucker.
The game. I do want to finish talking about that Bootstrap Paradox thing for the ending. You guys didn't, I'm not sure you guys exactly went over it, but the way I saw the movie is that the rules of the time travel, or the version of time travel they're using, was they said pretty explicitly you can't change the past. So all of that's locked in a loop. You've got your paradox there, but Cole does accomplish his mission. He gets the information on who the guy is. The lady comes back not to change the past. They're still going to go into viral pandemic and have the apocalyptic landscape, but she's getting, because of Cole's success and him closing that loop, she's able to come back, get the sample to save the future. So she can't affect anything from her past and, you know, basically from the invention of time travel backwards, but she'll be able to save what's left of humanity once she gets back to the future.
Yes.
Do you think she infects herself so she could take a clean version of the virus back with her and they can dissect Jones?
I mean, I don't know about the specifics of it. It's just...
I think that's the best way to get a clean virus back.
Yeah, she's just saying that...
blood from her.
She's an insurance. She's insured that mankind has a future. So, mission accomplished.
Yeah, but they should just time travel to when that doctor's on the toilet in the morning, kick the door in, shoot him in the face, take his samples.
You mean before he does anything?
Before no, he's already got the virus. He's gonna release it.
No, but I'm saying before
he has to release it for the virus.
She'd never have become a scientist.
Yeah, she would never be there. She'd never be there. Yeah. This future, this time travel shit's hard, man.
That's what she can only go. She can only change stuff moving forward from the moment she gets back to her future. She can't change anything.
Okay, so when he's running through the airport, she could clothesline him and then steal the virus because he's already released it at that point. Or does he have to release it in all the cities they list?
He's got to get on that plan, and all of that has to happen. Otherwise, they never would have sent Cole back.
Well,
right. Now, see, I just Google searched because I'm curious and fired up. Just as a Google search saying what type of paradox is 12 monkeys. This website, and it's just the first one I Googled, so I don't know, astronomytrack.com, it said it's a predestination paradox, which is different from a bootstrap paradox.
I could see that, too. But, I mean, I've also heard the two terms used kind of interchangeably.
Yeah, and but reading also, the descriptions, they're similar.
It is also I would definitely say that it's a predestination paradox. But typically, I've used the two terms kind of interchangeably. All right. In any case, before this version of the quiz, I was initially going to do a tagline one. That didn't work out. But I do have, I don't know if you saw this, the original tagline for this movie, the one for the that's on the movie posters and everything is, "The future is history." It's nice, clean. I like it.
Yeah.
The original one was, "The future is in the hands of a man who has none." And they were like, that's going to be confusing because it kind of sounds like
he has hands, right?
He has no hands.
Right.
They mean, you know, he has no future.
But he did have a future, but it's only till 2035, right? Like, it depends on where you view the future.
He's stuck in a time loop, so he doesn't have a future or a past. It's a circle. But yeah, it reads like he has no hands, so they got rid of that. But in any case, we have a game that we're going to play today. It's a quotables quiz. It is called Quotient Quotables. I'm going to read you a quote, and you guys, good guys, are just going to tell me what movie it is from. We'll make this a team game, nice and easy, and there is a meta at play. So if you guys have it, let's hit that game show music and up first. And again, for the people at home, listening at home, you're going to hear the actual quote clipped in from the movie. The good guys are going to have a harder time because they have to put up with my impression. But here we go. Up first.
I am Eula. I'm nobody's bitch.
That's Jet Li, the one.
That is correct.
Check out our back catalog.
And check out our back catalog.
You don't remember him saying that?
Yeah,
when he gets to the Mortal Kombat prison planet, he's about to fuck everybody.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
If the milk turns out to be sour, I ain't the kind of pussy to drink it. Do you know what I mean?
Did anyone else think Samuel L. Jackson?
I was thinking Travolta. So, I mean, we're both on like something.
It's not Samuel L. Jackson, but I will tell you, it looks a lot like him.
Racist.
And like that, I'm in such a corner now. I name any other actor, and it's like, look what you did. Unless I'm like Rick Schroeder.
Now don't worry. Forget about the actor. Think about the look that Jules has in Pulp Fiction.
Boxy Brown. What's the name of the guy who Dr. Teen Hunger Force? Was it Boxy Brown?
I'll split you up the middle. Yes, it was Boxy Brown. Boxy, please don't talk like that.
Oh, let me think though. Someone that looks like Jules.
Samuel Jackson, Formula 451.
It's not Sam Jackson.
It's
somebody
not
else.
Sam Jackson. Yeah, yeah.
I picked a different movie.
You still have to pick a different actor. Oh.
So you're saying it's not Samuel Jackson in
That's
Jurassic
what he
Park?
Said.
He looks like Jules from Pulp Fiction in this scene and in most of this movie.
Have I seen this movie? You can't answer that question.
I would think so. It is not from our back catalog. All right, I will cut you guys down and keep you from twisting in the wind. It is from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
I've seen that movie.
All right, next up.
They had a lot of weapons, mister. And they were shooting bullets.
Oh, I've seen that movie.
Well, it sounds like a kid's delivering the line.
It's not, I don't think.
Oh.
It's a guy being like sarcastic. He's like, what the fuck was I going to do? I just watched this movie, I think.
You did.
It's 310 to Yuma.
It is 310 to Yuma. Ben
100% just I 100% just watched this movie. That's why. That's
nice pull.
Ben Foster.
Yeah, nice.
He's
pull.
Reporting his own crime, and they're like, "Why didn't you do something to stop him?" And he's like, "Well, they were shooting me. They had a lot of guns, Mister." Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next up.
Come a long way since the garage.
Gotta say, it's fantastic.
Fast and Furious.
It's not.
When it's not any of them.
I no, it's fan-fortastic. But when you said the garage thing, I really thought Bill and Ted at first, but yeah. it's fantastic.
Yes. It is fantastic. That is right. It is Fantastic Four. Sucks. All right. Next up.
Said,
you're right. Yeah.
That's the fifth element.
That is correct. That is the fifth element.
Not without my permission, right?
Ectogamut means, yeah, never again, not without my permission. That is correct. And I am not sure if you guys have caught onto the meta yet. Let's go over our answers.
Yeah.
You got it? All right.
Yeah.
I don't want to say.
Well, we've got
alien.
One.
Every movie has a number in it, and they're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
The one, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, 3, 10 to Yuma, Fan right. 4 Stick, and the fifth element.
Fifth element, yeah. So, hopefully. I didn't get any answers, but I had the meta.
Yeah, you got the meta. Right. Let's see if this helps you out.
When I say you should screw yourself, I didn't mean for you to take it literally.
The sixth sense. I'm just kidding. It's not an X.
Remember when the little kid says that?
Did Haley Joel Osment say that, or Bruce Willis say that to
him? The sixth day. Sixth day.
It is the sixth day.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Seven. What's in the box?
I was going to give you a hint. Like this one, we were just talking about him. Brad Pitt's in this. Here's the quote.
Do you like movies?
You know, I haven't seen a movie in about 8 years, but as I recall, yes, very much.
I would have never got it from that quote.
Yeah. It is incorrect. It is not seven.
Okay, I was going to say, because...
I'm trying to think, who says that in seven?
Nobody.
Yeah, Seven Samurai.
Brad Pitt's getting up there in age, but he's not that old.
Did they do a remake? Oh, he wasn't in that, though.
Wait, so Brad Pitt is definitely in this seven movie, is what you're telling me? But it's not seven. Wait,
it's 7 years in Tibet.
It is seven years in Tibet. Excellent.
Hateful Eight.
All right, for this next one, not a quote. I have an alternate hint for you. Something from this movie, a line from this movie, this line, which I'm not going to tell you because it's just the answer, launched a successful quick-serve restaurant that serves one thing.
8 Mile. His palm spaghetti, knees
weak, arm spaghetti. It is 8 Mile.
Mom's spaghetti.
And it is Mom's spaghetti. That is correct. Yeah. Which apparently is delicious and sells out whenever they open. All right. Next up, I don't actually have a sound clip of this because it's not really words. The hint is the sound of wet ice melting on nipples.
The whole nine yards.
I was going to say Nine Shades of Grey. The prequel of 50 Shades of Grey.
Well, we're not going to 50 on this, but I think we're stopping at 12. I think you can put that one away.
I don't have to keep 50 in my back pocket.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Is it 9.5 weeks or something? Everything
is wet. It is 9.5 weeks.
I was going to say, didn't a lot... wasn't there a movie just called like Nine? That's like an animated film.
Yeah, that's not happening in that kids movie. Right. That is correct. Okay,
the whole 10 yards.
You need to eat, you need to sleep, and you need to start showing me a little bit of appreciation.
Oh. I can tell you this is in the bag.
Oh, it's in the bag. We haven't watched that back catalog in the bag. Yeah. So this is all you, Reagan. You go figure this one out.
Trying to think.
10. It had to be something you and Eve discussed bringing out of the bag.
There's
10th Warrior.
10 Things I Hate About You. That's the 13th Warrior. That's probably coming up at 13. Keep that in your front pocket. Throw that back on his face.
10
with a 10.
Come on, Reagan. This is your bag, man.
There's a lot in the bag, man.
Yeah, there's a lot in the bag.
Final hint incoming. It is an address.
10 Cloverfield Lane.
It's 10 Cloverfield Lane.
A million percent in the bag. Almost came out of the bag and we pushed it back down because it wasn't time yet.
Something right, to cook. Next quote.
What the fuck you bet?
Ocean's 11.
That is Ocean's 11.
We need a good grease man.
Right. When they finally pull him out of...
Hobba de Gee!
That's not the grease man. Although, if they open the safe at the end, it was the fucking grease man. I would say, greatest twist of all time in
best
any movie.
Best twist of all time. It's for a very small crowd.
Yeah,
but we
were like, who is this guy and what's happening?
All right, guys. And in closing,
I can't do anymore. I have to go now. Have a Merry Christmas.
I'm trying to think of another. Ocean's 12.
It is 12 Monkeys. Excellent work, good guys.
13th Warrior.
Oh no, the game is over. But yeah, 13th Warrior would have been great. I would have had some good quotes for that. But we'll have to save that for when we go up to 50 for 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah. But excellent work, good guys. Good game. Excellent work. And a winner is you.
Thank you. Thank you. Co is G. Co is B for 12 Monkeys. We're not going to need the B's this week. I'm calling it right now. This movie was great back in the day. It's great anytime you get to watch it. It's fantastic performances. It's time travel. You're going to have a great time watching this movie. Super, super easy. Co is G. Rob, what do you think of 12 Monkeys?
I love this movie. This is one of my favorites. Always loved this movie back in the day. I mean, enjoy the rewatch. It was great. It was a good time. Co is G for sure.
All right, Ryan.
Yes.
What do you think of 12 Monkeys?
Loved it. Still love it. Always enjoy this movie. I hadn't watched it in a while, but it was just as good, if not better, than what I remember it. I purchased it because I was so confident of the like of this movie. I think everyone should have this in their collection and enjoy it often. Co is G.
Well, there you have it. Of course, 12 Monkeys is. Come on. It's still good. Roll credits. The good guys win.
Sequels are made. Make sure to stay until after the credits for a bonus scene and check out the show notes for links, trailers, and clips about 12 Monkeys. Rob, where can the good people find us?
We are Co is G Pod on Threads, Instagram, Gmail, and the internet at large. Download the show on our new home, Spotify. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, where our show notes look perfect, and everywhere Spotify can be found. If you'd like to know more, reach out and touch us. Hailing frequencies are open.
I want to thank my brothers Rob and Ryan and our producer E. Special thanks to our social media team and all of our supporters. Thank you, good people, for listening, liking, subscribing, and reviewing. You guys are the best. If you're new to the show, be a good person and leave us a 12-star review like you already did the first time through. And if you want to be great people, get committed and recommend us to all your new friends. It's all for the greater good.
The greater good.
For the good guys, this is your undefeated champion, Reagan. And as we always say on the Co is G, this sort of thing doesn't usually happen to me.
Boat.
Hop of the gee.
I would say greatest twist of all time in any movie. Best twist.